All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
You've been following this story on this kid, Ethan Couch, that has affluenza. Affluenza. Yeah. Sounds like, sounds like a spoiled little brat is what it is. And it is. That was his defense. So you might remember the story. There was a lot of news about this back just a couple years ago, 2013. Kid was 16 years old at the time, okay? So he goes out drinking one night, gets drunk, goes out and he kills four pedestrians. I mean, kills them. Four people dead. It's right outside of Fort Worth, Texas, by the way. And, you know, prosecutors at the time wanted him to serve at least 20 years in prison. There's always an argument at that age whether they put you in juvenile court or adult court. And usually at 16, though, I don't know, usually you are tried as an adult in many, many cases from what I see. This kid was in juvenile court, and he got a slap on the hand. I mean, like a real little slap. He got a very small stint in rehab and 10 years in probation. Okay, 10 years probation. That's it. That's it. Nothing more. Right? Well, the story had been kind of quiet and kind of went away until he just, they couldn't find him and he escaped to Mexico. That's the problem when you have a probation. You just can't travel off to other countries and what have you. And so they put out a manhunt to find this young kid, an international manhunt. Find this kid, what happened? And couldn't find his mother either. Tanya Couch. Guess where she was? Exactly. She was with him. And that does not surprise me when you have a problem like this and you're, have a spoiled upbringing as bad as what evidently this kid had. It's where the mother was, and she is with him down there, and they both have been apprehended from the Mexico authorities. They tried to blend in with American tourists and what have you and didn't succeed at that. Although he did dye his hair blonde or something, this kid did, and he grew some facial hair, and they put that dark brown and then with the blonde hair and tried to blend in with the tourist. But they didn't have the proper tourist documents. So they were turned over to the Mexican immigration authorities for their return to be extradited to the United States. Now, again, this kid, his probation is still being handled by juvenile court, which means that, you know, they basically only be able to put him in detention until his 19th birthday, which is in April, by the way, and which point he would have to be released because he's not been tried as an adult, which may change ahead the way he's abused the system. It's hard to say. If he does violate this next time around, it could be 40 years in prison. So this could really, the stakes could get pretty high. So in any event, this is a story is still developing. And, I just can't believe the whole affluenza thing, that was a defense claim that he actually got off on that. I mean, of all the lame things, my friends, I don't understand how this kid goes out and kills four people. And actually says right here, I mean, his inability, this is their claim now, the official claim on this thing, his inability to tell right from wrong because he's had a spoiled upbringing and wealthy parents who never punished him for bad behavior. What a little brat, I'll tell you. And you know, you look at the pictures here, and he looks like he's as high as 10 kites, let alone anything else. He looks like a little punk. Anyways, that's the story on this affluenza thing. I would venture to say that this won't be the last time we hear about this thing. And also in life news, the TSA, the fun-loving folks at the, you remember the TSA? Yeah, the Transportation Security Administration. They're almost as fun as the Secret Service agents, folks. Well, these are the friendly people you see at the airport when you go to fly now. Well, now they can require that you go through a full-body scanner, even if you ask for a pat-down search instead. You know, a lot of people, they were having problems with those full-body scanners because they were showing your full body. They were showing women and men and the airport workers were in the back rooms laughing while people were walking through these scanners. And it became sort of the entertainment, if you will, for the airport personnel back there. So they became very controversial the last few years and they started to pull them down. But these new ones supposedly use a different technology, and they're supposed to sort of hide the nude images. They were creating these nude images of everybody, and this was back just a couple years ago, and the privacy violations and, you know, things like that, exposure to radiation. God knows we get enough of that out there. So, but all the commercial airports had them. And so now what's happening is they're now used to this millimeter wave technology, is called millimeter wave technology. Okay. It creates an image of a generic avatar on a screen now instead of the actual person. I mean, you're still seeing things, but at least it's supposed to be somebody else or something, I guess, is how it works. And if the scanner discovers a lump on the passenger that could represent a weapon, then you have to get a pat down. You don't have a choice. Of course, they could discover a lump from other things, but that's a whole nother story, my friends. And also, the world's busiest airport, you got to believe this story. Well, that's in Atlanta. You probably may know that. Atlanta International Airport is the world's busiest. It's hard to believe that sometimes, but Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport hit another big milestone. Their 100th millionth passenger this year just went through. All right. Larry Hendrick of Gulfport, Mississippi. And guess what? He was the big winner. He receives a Nissan Altima, okay? Two free Delta round-trip plane tickets to where he wants to go next, and a $500 gift card. Wow, he ought to play the lottery next. I wish I was that guy. And so Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed welcomed Kendrick, and they walked down a red carpet together with camera shooting and everything else. And what a surprise. Imagine traveling like that, and all of a sudden you get stopped, and You're the big winner because you're the 100th millionth. I mean, that's just having a good day, I think, my friends. No question there. But and, you know, later on, I want to talk about these selfies. Selfies are killing more people than sharks do. You know, selfies have become the new craze out there. Everybody wants to put them on social media and everywhere else because they want to get millions of followers and stuff. You get a crazy selfie or something. They're taking them on animals. They're taking them on top of towers and buildings. And they're taking them in front of trains. And people are dying. I mean, you better luck to swim in the ocean and you probably won't get bit with a shark more people are dying of selfies. Well, there's another big story as well. If you thought you knew all there was to know about the internet, think again. There's a sister universe on the web that most of us will probably never see. They call it the dark web. And we'll talk about the internet's darkest alleys in our next segment with technology expert Bob Francis. He'll join us and we'll get into that as well. As a way, also other ways we can protect ourselves in the new year. And a whole lot on the agenda today, folks. Glad you could be with me. We'll be right back after the break. Well, it's being called the dark web, and my friends, the things you can access on this dark web, it's like a who's who list on the most, well, what I would describe it as the most devious moments or points of human life, I think. I don't know how else to describe it to you. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know a lot of this existed, and certainly not at this level. I don't know if you know a lot of this, and I mean, call me naive, whatever, but I know this stuff exists in the world. I just didn't know that there was a whole nother dimension to the web. And there is. There is. There's a lot more to the web here than I really realized. And in fact, looking at this, you've got secret search engines, criminal wikis, hidden chat rooms, I mean, all kinds of things. And what you're doing here is, you know, you can get here. Some of the things they're doing, human organs, that illegal organs on there, hitmen. Maybe you've got somebody you want to hit off or something. This is the place to go. Firearms, ammunition, explosives, things that you probably shouldn't have maybe on the explosive side. Forged papers, counterfeit currency, drugs. All, as I say, the bad, bad things. This is where the hackers, the gangsters, the terrorists, and the pedophiles, and a lot of bad stuff on here on this dark web, it's being called. But we're going to find out more about this right now and talk about the difference of that and the website and what this is really all about. I'd like you to meet Bob Francis, and Bob is a technology expert from Milford Communications Partners. And, you know, Bob was a founder and managing director of Jefferson Partners out of Washington, D.C. And there he directed the high technology practice with a focus on satellite, internet, multimedia, and wireless technologies. Again, Bob is one of those guys who just understands technology. And, you know, I mean this kind of in a good way, but I don't know. It's something about technology. You either get it or you don't. Not everybody understands it like the back of their hand. I mean, some people are brilliant at it. Some people are idiots. I kind of fall in the middle somewhere, so I get it. But, you know, I'm certainly not at the level of a Bob Francis. Bob, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine, Malcolm. Good to be back.
It's good to be with you, my friend. And Bob's been on our television program before and on radio. And it's always good to be with you. So welcome to our new show here. And all right, so this dark web business now. Bob, there are things you can buy and get into trouble here. I mean, this is not exactly, you know, the Boy Scouts program here. This is some pretty rough stuff, huh?
That's right. It's specifically done that way because the people who are on the dark web are people who do not want to be tracked or looked at or followed. And by the way, that includes some very legitimate people as well as the people that you've been talking about, the hackers for hire, et cetera.
So there is some legitimacy to it. But
yes.
Yeah, all right, which I didn't know that as well. And is that that's still not that? I mean, that part of it's not called the dark web, is it?
No, it's still the dark web. The dark web simply is the other side of the web that we see.
Okay.
The internet that we use, the World Wide Web, is open. Everyone can see it. The browsers all find it and find content on it. But the dark web is hidden from the routine search engines that we use every day.
So you can't get this with Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, Firefox, any of those. How do you get on there?
Well, you get on there using a special browser that was, believe it or not, developed by the U.S. Navy. It's called Tor, T-O-R, and it stands for the Onion Router.
And Bob, anybody can get this?
Sure.
Wow.
You go to the, just Google Tor, and it'll pop up, and you download it just like you would Internet Explorer or any of the other browsers.
All right, so let me say this now. People who want to be encrypted, I mean, encryption is another word we use to hide things from people, whoever they may be. There's been a lot of talk in recent weeks and months with, in fact, on an international scale, with a lot of these terror attacks and stuff where they're using encryptions. Can I assume at this point that a lot of these, I mean, terrorist-type organizations, what have you, are they using things like the dark web as well?
Sure. Yeah, I would predict that if we were able to really look at what's going on, that we would find the majority of their work is done on the dark web when they're doing their work. Now, obviously, people like ISIS also come out onto the World Wide Web because they want the publicity and they want to be able to contact people who are not members of ISIS and for recruitment and other purposes.
Now, can our government or any government, can they track any of this information on the dark web?
It's not easy. The rumors are that it can be done. The key way to track is to be able to find that I placed a call to you. It's called the metadata. The Tor browser doesn't make that easy because, for example, if you sign on to the internet using your normal browser, Internet Explorer as an example, then there is a link established from your computer to access to the web, a ISP or Internet Service Provider. That information is easily tracked by anyone. In fact, it's routinely stored in your computer as well as at the ISP. So for that reason, it's not a good way to remain hidden, if you will.
I see.
On the other hand, the Tor browser takes the request when you log on, it takes your information and routes it through a number of other access points around the world. They have about 6,000 servers scattered all over the world, so that when the request that you have sent in for information finally accesses the database housing your information, you can't tell where it came from. That's the secret of it.
That's the whole deal, then, and that's how people are getting away with it, then, clearly.
The fact you're anonymous now.
But a lot of this stuff, I mean, there's got to be a – this is a treasure trove of evil things, and I'm sure there are evil people trying to do a lot of this stuff. So I got to assume that there's a big future with this, Bob. There's always going to be bad in the world, and these bad people, this is the place they're going to do their business, isn't it?
Well, yes. But on the other hand, there are a lot of good people that use the dark web as well.
Oh, let me ask you this first. Can this dark web, has there ever been any talk about infiltrating this somehow to find out, is it just that technology will never be there, or is it possible, or do you even know that? In other words, I mean, from a law enforcement standpoint, I mean, they would love to get onto something like this to find all these bad cats, yeah?
Absolutely, and I'm certain that every law enforcement agency in the world is trying. But the issue you have is that it's very, very difficult to find anything specific when the routers and the system has been uniquely designed to make that impossible, or as close to impossible as possible.
Yeah. You know, Bob, it always seems to me like the bad guys are one step ahead of the good guys.
Well, actually, the bad guys are simply using the technology that's available to the good guys. For example, as I said, the Tor browser was invented by the U.S. Navy, and it was primarily used in the beginning by our people within the U.S. State Department and U.S. government. And the reason they needed that browser was so that they could log on and communicate from wherever they were in the world without the local people, local governments in particular, knowing that they were there and that they were communicating.
Yeah. So, well, you know, which brings me to a point that, you know, there's a price we pay for all this advanced technology. And as I say, we get a few steps ahead, but we actually get, I don't know that we're better off today than we were 50 years ago. When you look at all of the level of, you know, crime and the level of evil in the world and how easy it is for these people to now communicate. And you see the things that are going on with all kinds of stuff, human trafficking, pedophilia, all kinds of evil, evil things. It does leave you sort of questioning, are we really advancing human kindness, or is this all just, and it's funny when you say the Navy did this or that, it just stops me in my tracks to think, you know, we kind of are our own enemies here. And at some point, I don't know, I wonder if it doesn't all catch up with us and become our undoing, if you will. You know, as we come now to an end of a year and a new year, I want to switch gears a bit and talk about this new year, the technology to advance our agendas and ways to protect ourselves as well. And so there's a lot to this story that I want to talk about with Bob Francis. I want to keep him around a little bit and discuss because he's a smart guy and he can help all of us. So we'll be right back with Bob in just a few moments. Well, data security is a big thing, and how can you protect yourself with all this technology? I mean, it's mind-boggling, my friends. I mean, just to try to keep your... At one point, we were just worried about, you know, the credit cards and the checking accounts and, you know, just a few small details like that. Now you've got to worry about your everything from your Social Security number to your photographs to your kids' privacy to just about everything that you have. And a lot of this is because we've become such one-in-one with technology. I often wonder, the more we advance ourselves as a people with technology, I just wonder, does a lot of this become more of our undoing? Does it really hurt humankind in the end? And I it's a big question. It's a profound question. Bob Francis is back with us, Bob. Bob, I say that to you, and, you know, it is, do you know what I'm saying when I say it like that? I mean,
well, I think so, Malcolm, but keep in mind that whatever we develop is available for both good and bad uses. Yeah. And yes, you'd like to be able to be sure that our new technologies, our new inventions are only used for good, but that's really not the real world.
Well, it's not the real world, and you know, that's you're right. And I mean, I don't like it, but not much we can seem to do about it. One of the conversation points I'm following in some of these recent shows this week are kind of some issues that will shape our world in 2016. One of them is data security and some of the hackers out there and ways to protect ourselves. The more I get into this, the more I just cannot believe it. I was saying to you during the break there at one point about one of these companies, VTech, where they actually, the company was out of the UK, and they got all of this accidentally. It was a kind of an accidental hack initially, but he got all of this data. I mean, the kids' photographs, conversations with the parents and the kids, private information all over the place. I mean, everything you can imagine from financial information, other things that were stored into this program. And we're talking like, I think it's over 12 million or something. Most of the people are in North America. And yeah, and a lot of people, when you know what gets me with technology, I told my, I told the folks this the other day, Bob, is that, you know, when you hear the UK and you hear something else, most people tune it right out and think, it doesn't, it's not going to affect me. And, you know, if I'm in Iowa or Kansas City or something, but hell, it does affect everybody. It's a global thing when it comes to technology, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The World Wide Web has actually totally erased national boundaries in that regard.
It does, but people, I think a lot of people still have a problem with that. They're not really understanding that. So let's talk about, with all of this, I mean, listen, how do you live a regular, decent life without becoming a phobia? I don't know, there's probably a word for this, but let's call it a tech phobia, kind of like everything, like you get into fear and spasms when, you know, you want to start to protect and hide everything, because you and I've talked about this in the past, and it can really become a problem and overwhelm you. How can the average person go about trying to just, you know, stay away from some of these bad cats? I mean, they're stealing stuff from Walmart and Target and your bank and your children's toy companies and, you know, your church. And I don't think anything is sacred, Bob.
Nothing is sacred. And the problem has to be addressed from two sides. Those individuals like you and I need to do simple things to make it more difficult. But the real issue is that corporations and governments absolutely must step up their efforts to make their systems hacker-proof. And that's really the key. Now, it's interesting, by the way, we talk about this. Many of the hacks that occur, and they don't get reported because companies are embarrassed to admit it, but a lot of the hacks that occur are from people who are inside the company. And so they have access and they break the access. In fact, the most recent one I will share as an example is a guy that was working in the lottery commission, and he was able to pick out the winning tickets, duplicate them, and hurry down and claim the prize before the other people did.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's all sorts of those kinds of things. But, you know, the individuals really need to rethink their entire strategy for their personal life. For example, kids these days think nothing of putting their picture up on the Facebook, et cetera. They leave the cell phone set to send out their location. So what they're actually doing is advertising that I'm on the corner of First and Main. And anyone who might want to know where they are knows what they are, and they know what they look like. Now, that's silly, but they do that. And every day you hear stories of pedophiles and others who are able to track their prey by using social media.
All right. So two points here. You bring up a really, really good point, Bob, you know, which is the whole social media thing. But the first thing is, you're so right when it comes to companies like VTech and so many others. A lot of people, inside jobs, that's another big point. But a lot of these cats are these companies, corporations, they're not doing enough to protect the data anymore. You're so right. And a lot of companies are behind on that, or they're taking it for granted. And that's where you start to get a lot of congressional hearings and the government's coming down on these companies to say, hey, you've got to protect the data here for the security if you're going to store all this, right?
Absolutely.
But as consumers, we sort of succumb to like, oh, we want this item or we want this, and we give them our information, not even realizing. I bet you think twice more so before you type something in. But the average person, I don't think any of us really think a lot of it before we type it in. That's kind of silly, Bob, huh?
Well, it is. Unfortunately, most people don't pay attention to that.
No, no.
The things that I do that are a little bit different, though, for example, is I have certain websites that I use for my email that I don't use for anything else. Right. So if you hack that website and you start spamming me on that website, it goes to a spam folder and I never see it. Right. And so there are those kinds of things. Secondly, you can turn off the location information within your cell phone so it doesn't broadcast where you are all the time.
That's right.
And you turn it on when you need it. By the way, it's automatically on if you dial 911.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. But all right. You know, by the way, I seen a movie the other day. It's called A Case of You, and it's with Justin Long and Evan Rachel Wood, Brandon Fraser, Vince Vaughn, and it's about data security. And this kid goes in and looks up a young lady on Facebook and gets so much information on her and then ends up dating her. But, you know, what I'm saying is you just pick it up. There's so much information we're putting on social media. We have to be careful on this. There's no question about it. Right. Bob, I've only got seconds left here. We're already out of time here. So your best advice when it comes to, you know, the new year, best advice in just a few seconds or so. Tell me what it is to people.
Stop putting all of your information up on social media. And you know, it's okay to put your pictures up, but don't tell people where you are. Remember that anything you say or do on the web is there forever. It can't be erased.
Yeah, that's great advice. It is absolutely great advice. We're going to take this further just a little bit more right after the break. We'll be right back with you. Well, I told you at the beginning of the broadcast that more people were dying from selfies than were from dying from shark attacks. It seems like a pretty lame headline until you really read into this. And, you know, selfies have become the new craze out there. People do these selfies because they want to gain more followers. They want to attract more millions of people to watch their videos and their pictures and stuff on all these social media sites. A lot of young people are doing this. So 19 people were killed in selfie-related incidents this year alone, and scores more were injured, and some pretty serious at that. Now, shark attacks? Guess how many we had this past year? We had 8. And those were really overreported on, if you ask me. I mean, they were big deals. We have more people die from bee stings in a given year than shark attacks, but something about shark attacks, we tend to broadcast those and all run wild and scared about it. And now that I think about it, I mean, you can die from a lot of things, a hell of a lot more than you can a shark attack. But a selfie, that's something you kind of take on yourself. And some of the ways people are dying from these selfies are so over the top. I mean, they're falling from cliffs, they're crashing their cars, electrocuting themselves. I mean, 3 college students died while trying to snap a selfie in front of an oncoming train. Now, if you are standing in front of an oncoming train for any reason, then you are an idiot. I mean, I don't know how else to size that up for you, man. You know, you're an idiot if you're standing in front of an oncoming train. But why would you want to take a selfie in front of an oncoming train? You got to be a lunatic, man. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. But they died. They lost their lives. You had another couple of Russians that posed with a hand grenade with the pin pulled out. Well, guess what happened there? Yeah, they died as well. Then you had a Cessna pilot in Colorado. I remember this story. He got distracted from selfies and crashed the plane and killed everybody in it. And there's stories of boats going over because people all took selfies on the side of it, tipped the whole thing over. And I mean, there are countless, countless stories here going on and on and on. And in fact, some countries, in Russia, the Interior Ministry launched a multimedia campaign for safe selfies. It's so bad out there that they have a campaign called Safe Selfies, trying to get people to be careful when you take these. In fact, at some of our national parks, with the animals. People want to get these pictures with the animals. And these are not like little friendly little parakeet animals. How about bison? How about bison? You want to take a selfie with a bison? Well, they don't kind of take it too well, I'll tell you. These bison will turn on you real quick, and they'll put a dent in your ass real fast. So how about moose and bears and all kinds of things? So anyways, the people are being gored up from these things, all from the point of doing selfies. I don't know, America. We better be real careful with these selfies. You got to really want a picture and a few million followers to be able to put yourself in harm's way. And by the way, there some of these pictures where the kids are hanging off the skyscrapers. God, they pictures look horrible. I mean, they're just literally one hand. Look, Ma, no hands. And trying to shoot the picture. And some of these people fall to their deaths. I mean, you just looking at the pictures make me sick. I couldn't imagine being up there trying to take a photograph. I mean, it's got to be the craziest thing. But selfies are the new craze, and people are taking them. And they're paying with their life for this. I mean, I just can't see why you would want to do that, folks. So anyways, you're better off to swim in the ocean. Better chance that you won't get bit by a shark than you will by getting killed by a selfie. You may want to think twice about that. Also in life news today, you've been following this Whole Foods story? Whole Foods? I mean, everybody's got to do grocery shopping or stopping. I'm not a big shopping guy. I don't like to go to any of these stores, but sometimes we got to do it if we want to eat. At least I find that's the case. Well, Whole Foods, you know, Whole Foods claim to fame was convenience purposes. They prepackage all of these food items. So it's quick and convenient. You stop in, you get your things, and it's all supposed to be fresh and unique items. That's one of the reasons I would go there on a special occasion now and then. Not all the time. It's not an every week kind of place. But I'd stop in there, and I would, you know, sometimes get a couple of special items. But again, the prepackaged thing was part of their claim to fame. Well, what had been happening is, guess what? This might all be a setup, my friends. What they've been doing is overcharging, mislabeling the weights on the packages, and scamming everybody to the tune of a lot of money here. And so I thought this was an isolated incident, but this is no isolated incident. On what, I'll give you an example. They put some examples in here. On a package of chicken tenders, they charged another $4.85 extra for the chicken tenders that nobody knew, and somebody paid for that. How about some coconut shrimp? They charged an additional $14.84 for the coconut shrimp than what should have been charged. Now, my friends, if you're paying another $15 for coconut shrimp on top of what the coconut shrimp should be, you know, what you would normally pay for coconut shrimp. You've got to really like some coconut shrimp, or you've got to not be paying too much attention on what coconut shrimp is on the market for. What did it sell for, like $40 or something? I don't really understand how you'd be charging another $15 for coconut shrimp, but they did, and they paid for it. Well, the investigation tested 80 different types of prepackaged foods at Whole Foods, and so guess how many were caught being mislabeled? You think 10%? Okay, maybe 10%, 5%, 20%? That's a lot, 20%. 30% maybe? No, none of that's even close. How about every single package was mislabeled? 100%! 100% of the packages are mislabeled. Basically, these people are screwing everybody in the light of day. I mean, if you're taking 100% of your packages and you're overcharging, mislabeling the weights, you ought to be put out of business. I mean, you shouldn't be called Whole Foods. You should be called Scam Foods or something. It doesn't make any sense. I will never shop there again. I'm not going there for anything. No way. So New York City, they had a lawsuit. I don't know how many of these lawsuits are happening in the country, but there's one in New York City. They were demanding $1.5 million. And they paid. They agreed to pay Whole Foods $500,000 settlement. They say to put the issue behind us. Oh, give me a break, will you? You don't want the bad publicity, Whole Foods, to put the issue. Yeah, you want to put the issue behind you, okay? So you keep screwing people over. That's what you want to do here. So the CEO, John Mackey, came out and did a YouTube video, apologized for it, whatever that means. I don't even know how you apologize for something like this. I'm wondering, are they training these people in their online videos or something, or bringing them into training class and telling them how to screw their customers over, I wonder? I don't really know. But, I mean, if you've got something that's a widespread problem like this, I mean, it's part of your culture at that point. That's part, you got to be teaching the people to do this. Why would they do this otherwise? It's got to be part of their training process. I wonder why some of these people haven't come out and said something about it before this even happened. Well, he comes out and he says now, Mackey now, the CEO I'm speaking of, he says, I'm bewildered. He expressed bewilderment over why Whole Foods was being singled out for this attention, saying he doesn't think the company's track record on the matter is any different from other supermarkets. Give me a break. You mean all supermarkets are doing this to us? You mean, like, is this why groceries are so darn expensive today? You can't even afford it? I mean, you leave a grocery store today with a bag. You're lucky to have a bag and you're up around $75, $80. I mean, it costs a fortune to go buy groceries today. I mean, food is crazy priced. And this is probably part of the reason. Everything is overcharged. It doesn't even sound like they're the only ones doing it. Why ain't the workers in these stores saying something more about it is what I want to know. How is it these people, these are consumers who work there. Somebody's got to be screwing the public. It just isn't the CEO. Obviously, he's letting it happen. But why does this happen? I'm lost on the whole thing. How does this happen that they get away with it? So along with that fine in New York City, by the way, there were some other things that now they have to conduct quarterly audits to ensure products are accurately weighed and labeled. I'll give you quarterly audits. They ought to be audited every day. If they're even allowed to stay in business and continue to screw on the public, they should be every day there should be an audit in these Whole Foods. And if other supermarkets are doing it, hell, I want to know about it. I want to know who else is. I mean, this is wrong. It's why groceries are so expensive. I mean, people out there can't even afford to eat anymore. So listen, this other, I got to end here on a laughable note. This 10-year-old writes a hilarious letter to parents over Santa Claus. Well, the 10-year-old found out about Santa Claus and at 10 years old and this Maryland girl, and she suspected something was wrong, and she went off and wrote a letter to her parents now. She said, "You have no idea what you just did. I really tried to believe. Everyone told me it's you parents. I can't believe you anymore. Is the Easter Bunny even real? How about the Tooth Fairy? You just ruined a 10-year-old child's life. Thanks." This is the kid now, her letter. "Nothing will make me feel better. You lied to me about something I love that broke my heart." And then the kid puts a middle finger emoji in there. A middle finger emoji. The kid should be punished. And they got a copy of the letter and everything in here. And so the mother put this up on Facebook, thought it was kind of funny. Kind of sick, if you ask me. But in any event, if that was my kid, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be posting it on Facebook. I'd be sitting down talking to the kid and explaining about some basic manners. Watch out what you tell the kid about Santa Claus, huh? Hey, thanks for joining me today. We'll see you again tomorrow. It's Malcolm out here. Remember, get involved. Get loud.